Okay, so here we go. So on the tour begins by saying that Kohanim Levim are Patur Pidyon Bechoreim. That Kohanim and Levim, male Kohanim and Levim, don't have to be poda to their sons. But Fila Kohenis Leviya, and even if it's a woman Kohen or a woman Leviya that is married to Yisrael, also you're not going to do Pidyon HaBet, which was the reason why you
Too.
were exempted, right? Okay, so
Right.
V'im Heim, we lost our three in a row. V'im heim muvaros migoy leviya p'tur of kohenes muvaros. And if you and if now if she becomes pregnant from a goy, so what's the status then of the child? So the assumption is, right, is that she's still a leviya at that point. Sheldon, you might want to mute the phone also. So, v'im heim muvaros migoy leviya p'tur of a kohenes muvaros. Now, if she becomes pregnant from a guy who is a leviya, so she's pater as well, right? It's a non-Jewish father, but she's still a leviya, so therefore that kid would then be pater. However, a kohenes is where things get a little interesting, because if she's a kohenes and she's muvaros migoy, so she loses her status as a kohenes, right? She's now a zona. So therefore, she's no longer considered to be a kohenes, and she's chayiv haben liftos, in which case the son has to be poda to himself. Why? From the fact that she had bia with the guy now makes her right now makes her a zona, in which case she right she would not be so therefore she now that kid becomes Chayiv in Pinyon HaBen, because she loses her status as being a Kohenes. Now, I crossed my mind a few times to figure out what's the status of if she's a Kohenes and she gets artificially inseminated or something like that. Not sure. Maybe that will come up in the next couple of weeks. But so far, I haven't seen it. It could be in the. I didn't really look through Mishmas Avraham or anything. I'm sure it's discussed. Anyways, V'chein Bas Yisrael Muvaris Migoy, so too if she's a Bas Yisrael who gets impregnated by a Goy, so Chayiv HaBen Liftos Hatzmos, in which case the son will then be Chayiv to be Poda himself, meaning there's no father in the picture. So therefore, there's still a Chiyuv of Pinyon HaBen for the son. So, come to think of it. May have an example of that have to deal with. Anyways, so comes the Beis Yosef here, and this is all pretty beferish in the Gemara, right? Amar Rav Ada bar Ava Leviya sheyalda bina pater michamesha salayim ba'okmar Rav Papa b'di'avad migai umar b'rei de Rav Yosef m'shrei de Rav damar b'di'avad abi Yisrael my time of peter rechem tal rachmana. And then Rashi adds in with parak hazroa aminan halachik Rav Ada bar Ava. That's what we paskin according to Rav Yosef shmei de Rava adinu nuscha de Rav Acha mishvacha ba'achinam v'hilchos psukos de Ravan. Right, that's the way that we pass according to these halachas. Now the Beis Yosef continues on in the Bedek HaBayis and quotes from the Trumas HaDeshen. So the Trumas HaDeshen says, "What about the following? Al bas kohen tenuya shelo bichra." So let's say you have a bas kohen, v'nis avra biznus, and she never got married, and she became pregnant at biznus, v'yalda ben, and she has a son. Now we don't know who the father is. We know she was never married, and this kid had to come from somewhere. But Bialda Ben, now she has a son. So she says, "Ah, I got Ploni Yisrael Nisavarti. I was impregnated by Yankel. Vuhu Machishus." So they go to Yankel and they say, "Nu, Yankel, are you
Your father?
yeah, Sheldon, you're not on the phone anymore. Are you like on the computer now or something?" Hung up. Think he's there, but he's muted. Right, so they go to Yankel and say, "Nu, are you the father?" V'hu machyishosa, and he says, "Not me." Right, v'omer migoy nisavri. He says, "No, you weren't. I didn't impregnate you. You're also hanging out with Saquon or someone. Right, you're hanging out with a non-Jew." Right, v'nosin amaslus v'alchachos l'dvarav. Not only that, but he gives like some proofs to that. Right, there were some pictures of you guys together. There was, I don't know, you guys went to a movie, and apparently there are videos taken of the audience during movies in dark theaters, as apparently the world just found out.
Apparently, that's just the latest thing, yes.
right? So he brings proofs that, look, I know you're with him. V'ben niskadel, and the son now becomes older. V'hayel ish imhu chayev liftos atzmo. So they tell, so now does this guy, does he have to depose himself? Meaning the father or the alleged father, he says, not me, right? I am not accepting responsibility for this. And so now they turn to the kid. The kid says, well, that man could be my father. Yankel, why are you assuming that my father is Saquon? My father might be Yankel. Right, my father's Yankel, so then my mother is a Kohen. You never have any proof that she is a Zona, right? And therefore, I'm not a Kohen, but I'm a Ben Kohenes, right? In which case, that would be a reason for me to be exempted from the Pinyon HaBen. So that is the Trumas Hadeshin. Now, the Trumas Hadeshin himself, I did put on the sheet. Maybe, I don't know if we're going to go inside, but the Trumas Hadeshin himself, when he raises the question, he adds in that. That this all is only a question if the man, if she's not actually married to Yankel or to Saquon, right? If she's married to Yankel, so then Yankel loses a pretty large amount of Ne'amanus to say that it would be my son. Now, it is true that Yankel does have the ability to establish one of his to establish his children as Mamzerim, but here he that's what the Trumas Hadeshin goes through, but here that's not really what's going on. He's not establishing one of his children as being a mamzer, he's establishing someone else's what he's claiming as someone else's children child as not really being a mamzer, being a Ben Guy or something like that. Right? So therefore that's not going to be that's not going to work. So the Shulchan Aruch itself paskens this case, Shulchan Aruch, Shin Hei Sif Yud Ches. Kohanim v'levim peturim v'pinyon ben. I feel the kohenes v'levim nesu'el Yisrael. This is, I guess, page 4 or 5. Ina ben chayv if those she'ina davar tali ba'av el be'im shenemar pete rechem b'Yisrael. If it's aver mi'obi kuchavim ben halavia pater mi'pinyon. And if she becomes pregnant and she's a ben levia, so the kid's still going to be pater mi'pinyon, right? It doesn't matter. She doesn't lose anything out. U'ben ha'kohenes chayv v'pinyon. But the ben ha'kohenes, he's going to be chayv. Why? Sharei nischala imo mina kuhuna. Because she became a chalal from the kahuna, right? By the fact that she had bia with this non-Jew. So then you have the Roma adding in the, yeah, but what if there's a dispute about who the kid is, whose kid it is? V'im hi omeres from Yisrael nisavra, v'Yisrael machishav omer shomei kochavim nisavra, haben pater min ha-pidyon. In that case, the son is going to be subject to pidyon. Now there is a shach here that seems to go through this Trumas Hadeshin and goes back and forth, Piskei Tshuva as well. Well, honestly, I just couldn't focus on it to figure it out. It was pretty confusing in terms of back and forth, but I just could not get a tefisa on it today. I said, all right, when if the shaila ever comes up, well, I'll figure it out at that point. So if you go back to the Beis Yosef Yud Tes, where also this is also sort of in the realm of Kohanim behaving badly. So in Sif Yud Tes, it has the following. What about a Kohen shenolad lo ben chalal? What about a Kohen who has, this is the tour, a Kohen shenolad ben chalal? So a Kohen has a son who is a chalal. How would the Kohen have a son that is a chalal? So if he's married to a woman who he's not allowed to be married to for Kohen reasons, right? If she's if it's for other reasons, so then the kid's a mamzer, right? But if it's a Kohen issue, so then the kid is a chalal. So is a chalal subject to pinyon haben? That is the question. So umay, so if that's the case, umeis ha'av tok shloshim yom, and then the father dies within 30 days leidas haben. So the assumption of the Torah, the assumption of the Gemara, is that yes, the kid is going to be subject to pinyon haben because he's not a kohen, he's a chalal, and therefore he's going to be chayiv. Now, where the Gemara is it gets to work is okay, but the father is a Kohen. So if the father is chayiv to be poda the son, could the father be poda to himself? And if he is going to be poda to himself, does he have to do it? Or if we just say like do we pretend that if it was as it was done? So the tourist case is that the father dies within 30 days. So if the father dies within 30 days, so then the kid was never subject to pinyon under the father's watch. And then it's more likely to say that the son would have to be poed to himself, right? So the Torah says, yes. Chayav ha-ben lishtos es atzmo, right? L'achar shloshim, kfar zacha av pinyon v'yarshu If it's after 30 days, so certainly the father was already zochah to the pinyon, and the son inherits that from the father, therefore, yafrish ha-pinyon bi'ikvenu le'atzma. Therefore, he should separate the pinyon and keep it for himself. That's the way the Torah concludes. So where does he get this from? So this is a back and forth in the Gemara itself. So the Gemara in the Beis Yosef, if he quotes this, Itmar Kohen Shemes V'niach Ben Chala, right? A Kohen dies and leaves a Chala behind. So Rav Chista Amar HaBen Chayev Liftos Esatzmo, and Rav Arafuna Amar Ein Chayev Liftos Esatzmo. That Rav Chista says, yep, well, the son's got to go pose himself. Rav says, no. So Heich the Meis Ha'av La'achar Shloshim Yom, if it was after 30 days, everybody agrees, Lo Pli Yidah Ein HaBen Chayev Liftos Esatzmo. He doesn't have to. Shor Yizach Ha'av Pinyono. Kipli, where do they argue? Heichad the Mesa Av Toch Shloshim Yom. Umashma Hasam the Halacha Kerav Chista, the Reish Lakish Shavar Kavase. And it sounds like the Halacha would be like Rav Chista, that the son is Chayav to be Poda himself, but Reish Lakish seems to assume to him, like him, and that is what the Rambam and the Rush hold as well. Why? So the Uperish Rash, Reish Zacha Av Pidyono, Dina Miyahiv Le Ha'av. Right, if we say that the father would give it, have a mafrish le v'shakel le lanashe. Right, if we say if the father was still there, the father would be able to just separate it and take it for himself. Not kohen hu. V'kevad the zocha av pidyono marisha livno. So since the father could be zocha to his own pidyon, he passes that on to the son, even though imshar nechasav with his other nechasim. And the Rosh says av keilu hifresh av chamesh shalayim upada behen espino v'ikvam la'atzam. Can Ben Yafish hei salayim v'yiftes atzmo v'lo yitnam l'koin midi dava imi shiyarish t'valim me'avi imo koin shemitachdam u'mochra ha'truma l'koin. Right, similar to somebody who would be able to sell truma to Kohan. Now, this is a little strange for several reasons. Number one is that we generally assume that a Kohen who is living in sin is not entitled to his privileges of being a Kohen. Right, if a Kohen is married to a Grusha, so we don't usually allow him to duchen. We don't give him the kohen aliyah. We don't and I always thought that that was actually a din d'oraisa, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's only derabanan. I wanted to try to work on that a little bit more. I didn't see anybody really discussing it, right? But
I always thought that the kohen, the penalty seems to be on the kid, not on the kohen.
No, the kid becomes a chalal, but the father would lose. Meaning, if a kohen is openly married to a grusha, so we would not give him a kohen aliyah in shul. We would not allow him to duchen. Those are general sanctions. Now, I thought that they were actually dini d'oraisa that he's not allowed to, because they because there is a discussion in the beginning of Parshas Emor where the isuri kohanim are discussed. So one of the things it also mentions there, this is actually Daf Yomi 2 days ago. 3 days ago, right, with the cutting of the payas and stuff. So the cutting of payas, the tishchas and the other one, takif, are mentioned in two places. They're mentioned in Devarim, and they're mentioned in Emor in the context of Kohanim. So what is it doing there? What's that a lot? Like, why is it mentioned there? So we assume that if a Kohen is, that those Isurim, the Isurim of cutting your hair improperly, is actually a Kohen-related Isur. There's an additional level of prohibition imposed upon Kohanim, to the point that if Kohanim are in violation of those Dinim, Kohen shaves with a razor or something, he would also lose his privileges of being a Kohen. So I was under the impression that was Yidin D'oraisa. What? Right? And if that is the case, so then I'm not sure how he's able to accept a pidyon on behalf of his son if he's still married to the woman. But I wasn't sure how to... apparently he can, though. What?
I don't think that it seems to me that Torah doesn't describe much for him. Are you telling me he's not allowed to be tamei for a wife that he wasn't allowed to marry? But it doesn't seem like there's much penalty for the Kohen on the children. Now, the rabbis may have come and put in
I'm not sure. I'm not sure you could give a truma to a kohen who was married to a grusha. I'm not sure. Okay, I'm not sure about that. Try to tzarich Ian on that. In addition to that, the further question that is discussed here is: does this actually have to happen? Meaning the we wait till day 30, and right, and we're saying, well, the father could be poda the kid to himself. So does he actually have to be poda the kid to himself? Does he actually have to take the 5 coins and say, I'm hereby being poda my son to me, right? Is that something that actually has to happen or not? So the assumption of the in the Beis Yosef here in the Rush here is that yeah is that he seems to be saying that it does need to that it is something that needs to take place. So in the Shulchan Aruch itself in Sif Yud Tes, so what does it say here? It says a Kohen shenolid lo ben chalal. If you have a Kohen who had a chalal born to him, Mesa av v'soch shloshim yom, and then if the, so if the father dies within 30 days, Chayva ben liftos hatzmo shlo zacha av v'pidyona. Plus, the father was never zocheh that pidyon to him. V'meis av la'achar shloshim. The father died afterwards. Kfar zacha av pidyono v'yorsho b'no mimenu. And the son inherits that from the father, seemingly saying that like the father gives that right. Right? Rashi, the Taz there says on the top, the havakilu hifrisha av he salayim ufada behem es b'no va'akvam la'atzmo shereihu kohen oso haschus atzmo yorei ben. Actually, the Taz is using the word as ki'ilu. It says if he did that. Okay, so maybe not. I'm not sure. V'yimeisa av la'achar shloshim yom kvar zacha av pidyon v'yorsha b'no mimenu hilkach yafrish ha'pidyon v'yak, no, v'yakvenu le'atzo. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch concludes by saying, yeah, so therefore you have to separate the coins and then hold it for yourself. But it is actually something that needs to happen, apparently. It's not, right, the schus that the father gives over to the son is not that you don't have to do the pidyon, is that you get to keep the pidyon. Right, that's something that you'll get to that you'll get to have. So therefore, and the father would, so the father sort of speak has the right to accept it, and he could even pass that on to the son. Now, how far to extend that is also a question. Wait a second, what if somebody promises a Kohen that I'm hereby going to do the pidyon haben with you, and then the father dies before the pidyon can happen, and then now the father has a son. Just the son's not a Kohen, the son's a chalal. So could he give that schus over to the son somehow? Could the son accept the pidyon on behalf of his dead father, right? Or even further, what about if the father died without any children, and therefore his inheritance goes to his? I guess it's always to the father line. And I got what? What is? Well, who is his daughters? I mean, like Safkad's kids, right? Like the Vinod Safkad. So he, right. So if he has daughters, he doesn't have sons. So could the daughters then accept the pidyon on behalf of that their father was supposed to get once upon a time? I don't know. I don't know how far this this goes. It's a whole thing seems kind of strange that this should work, but that is the way that it is paskened in Shulchan Aruch. And then finally, one more halacha here that's mentioned, Chaf, also one of these strange cases, and that is in Sif Chaf, Hashifcha shenishtachara, the kusis shenisgaira kashehimu. What about a shifcha that becomes freed, or a kusis that becomes a gioras, meaning a woman converts while she is pregnant with her first child? This is not crazy, right? This could happen every once in a while. So this kid, right, was conceived not as a Jew, and then became Jewish while in his mother's womb, right? So and then she has the kid. So afal pisho raso shelo bikdusha, even though the conception, the kid was not Jewish, hol v'nolad bikdusha, because the kid was born as bikdusha chayiv. He's going to be chayiv. Shneamar peterechem biyisrael, very peterechem biyisrael. Right, it says Peterechem b'Yisrael, and this, lo and behold, was that's what happened. It came out Peterechem b'Yisrael. So in yadua in kodem shenisgaira o achar shenisgaira habotim mechaverol avaraya. But let's say you don't know. Now, what don't you know? It sounds like if we're following by the time of birth, it says if you're not sure whether the kid was born before or after she converted. I could not figure out what the scenario was that would happen. That you could where the you're not sure if the kid was born or after the conversion. It's a little hard to imagine. It is a Beferish Gemara though, sort of. The Gemara itself discusses. It's a Gemara Maseches Chulin, right? The Be'er HaGolah sends you to maybe writes a Chulin Daf Kuflam Adalet Amud Aleph, and over there. Did look it up, so it's like maybe the Gemara there gives the case where this happens, and it doesn't exactly. On Kuflam Adalet, it gives examples of it says there's eight dinim. Yeah, Rav Chisda there says that there's shmona sveikos, that there's eight sveikos you could say about a ger. Four of them they're going to be chayiv, and four of them they're going to be pater. So korban ishto, If he was married when his wife is kind of a korban, and I guess it's unclear whether he converted or not, or challah, if it's unclear whether he converted or not at the time the challah was taken. So all those cases, you're going to say chayiv, that he's going to have to give it. But then rishis hagez, matanos, and pidyon haben and pidyon petach hamor, he's going to be pater, right? So if there's a suffix because of geirus, whether he was Jewish or not, and therefore questionable whether he's going to be subject to pidyon haben or not, so he's going to end up being pater because hamotzi mechaveiro lavaraya. So the Gemara, however, does not give an example of how that could come about, unless maybe the mother convert. I don't know. This would be a good use your imagination case, but I'm not sure how this certainly. Let's put it this way. Certainly in the realm before any type of, I'm not even sure how IVF or anything would work like that here. I don't
Yeah,
know.
I mean, she
What?
shows up with a kid who's 8 years old. She doesn't remember, or says she doesn't remember.
Well, she also, I mean, maybe she's lost her memory. Maybe you can't question her anymore.
To me,
Those
right?
are
She
cases.
didn't learn Hilchos Pinyon Haben in Geirus school, and then this
Maybe
kid
the
shows up, and
mother
then
does.
right, and then we don't know. We don't have the dates. She lost the documents, something like that. Okay. Anyways, we would still apply the idea of Hamotzi Mechaveiro HaLavaray. So in Rav Sobolovsky's Sefer on Geirus, he sorry on Bechoros, so he invokes this din. That's the next page in the sources I sent out. Where did I put it? The Sefer Rishis Koach here. So, there you go. So here in the Sefer Rishis Koach. So I think we actually did the rest of this article when we learned Hilchos Geirus, because this is discussing the Ramban, right? The issue of Tevila before Mila, the Tevila before Mila. So there is a question the Gemara tries to figure out, this concept of uber yerech ima or uber lav yerech ima. What is the status of a woman who converts while she is pregnant? So we understand that the kid, when the kid is born, the kid is considered to be converted. It's just a question of why the kid's considered to be converted. So do we assume uber yerech ima, that the kid is part of the mother, and therefore the mother converts, and the kid is just another limb of the mother, and therefore converts with the mother? Or do we say uber lav yerech ima, that the kid is considered separate from the mother? So therefore, how did the kid convert? Say, well, the mother went to the mikveh, and the child was inside the mother when the mother went to the mikveh. So therefore, the child went to the mikveh as well. Wait a second. That's kind of a pretty big chatzitza that you have going on there, right? If that's the case, say yeah. But it's only a chatzitza derabanan, because in order for it to be a chatzitza deraisa, it needs to be rove rubo umakbid alav, and here. It might be Rubo, it's entirely encircling the kid, but the kid wants it there, right? He's ain't no love. The kid wants the thing there, the womb there, otherwise he would die, right? He's having a good time learning Torah with the Malach, right? And he doesn't want to leave. So the question then becomes, okay, so that's interesting. What about if it's a boy though? Because generally speaking, when we do a Geirus, we do the bris and then we do the then we go to the mikvah. Right, but here the kid is going to the mikveh, so to speak, inside of his mother, and only having the bris later. So how does that? How does that then work? And the other and then the other question that he raises on the top right here, that how he is that. What about if a woman is pregnant with twins? So the Gemara itself in Yevamos talks about a woman being pregnant with twins. And there it says that even in the case of Horasa Shalobik Dusha Validasa Bikdusha, right, so she converts, she's pregnant with twins, are those two kids related to each other? Right? Are those two kids then brothers? Or do we say, well, they're Gerim, and Gerim aren't considered to have any relatives, right? So are they related to each other? So the Gemara says that they are Chayiv Mishum Eshes Ach Mina'im, right? That they would be Chayiv, they would be considered to be brothers for the purpose of Gilui Arayos, and presumably for Yibum and Chalitza as well. So muchach midimzeh, so what do we see here on the top right? Here, that they are considered to be related. Maybe on the mother's side, not on the father, I guess not for Yibum and Chalitza, but just with regards to them being brothers on the mother's side, that would be considered to be an issue. So according to the Ramban, that their Geirus isn't concluded until their Mila, so why are they different than other Geirim? Right? Nicole gained their meaning. Gershi's guy cuts an old dummy, and the gears isn't happening till later. So that's his question. So the bottom right here, and some other questions as well, but the bottom right here, he says, Esher Latari Takushi Hashnia, Api Divre Rabbi Kiva Eger, Bechidush of the Yavamos Daf Memhei. Why? From the second question for Pinyon Ben. I'm sorry, what's the second question for Ben for with regards to us? There's a good story, Sof, Nodu Yisraelim. Right, plus the bottom right here, the previous paragraph, it says, another question that Achronim ask, that according to the Ramban, seems to go against the Mishnah in Bechoros, because it says over there that a woman who is pregnant and converted, the child requires Pidyon HaBen. So according to the Ramban, why should that be? Well, according to the Ramban, the kid is still isn't Jewish when he's born. He's only Jewish later once he has the bris. So how can you say he's chayv in pinyon aben if when he's born he's not even Jewish yet? That's his question, right? You could ask as well. What about a woman who, if you assume you follow genetics, in the case of a in vitro fertilization where it's not the mother's children, it's not they're using a donor egg. Or using a donor womb, right? So if the egg is not Jewish and using a Jewish woman, would that kid be chayiv in pidyon, right? It would be the same. It seemingly would be the same similar issue, right? If the egg is not a Jewish egg, so Esher Latarits Akushas Hashnia. So this pidyon haben issue we can answer based on Rav Akiva Eger, based on a Tosos in Yavam. So there's a Tosos there who says that at least there is a shita in Tosos. The Sovereign de Vlad Hanola Migoy Habal Bas Yisrael Dino Kagoy. That if it holds the opposite of what we hold, it holds patrilineal descent. That if you have a child from a Goy that was Boel Abbas Yisrael, sorry, with a Jewish woman, that kid is still a Goy. So Rekiva Eger asks, he says, wait a second, what about in Bechoros where it says Mishanola Migoy Habal Bas Yisrael, you're still going to be Chayv and Pidyon HaBen, according to Tosfos? How could that happen? Right? How could that be? I mean, if you're going to say that the mother, that even that a Jewish father and a non-Jewish mother, the child is still Jewish, according to Tosos, how would it be that a non-Jewish father and a Jewish mother would be chayv in pidyon haben? That's the question. So v'teres v'kiva eger, the efshar lomer shemishanolad mirechem yisraelis, that a child who is born from a Jewish rechem, even though he was born a guy, when he converts, would be chayv and pidyon. So according to Tosfos, Alphabi Shinolad Goy Mikimach Imba Yisrael is chayv pidyon haben, so long as it's after his geiros. The ein guy mechuyiv mitzvos pidyon haben, the ein mitzvos shegayim mechuyavim. Right? You can't say if the kid's not Jewish, he's chayv and pidyon haben, right? Because he's not Jewish, right? It's not one of the seven mitzvos b'nei Noach. But suggests for Akiva Eger that if the kid later on becomes Jewish, so it's true he doesn't have any Jewish relatives, but he does have a Jewish womb that he's related to. So he suggests, according to this Ramban, that you would then be chayiv in pidyon haben later on if this kid converts. So the example of the Ramban is that the kid is born and then from a Jewish mother, even though the kid might not be Jewish until he has his bris, he still would be chayiv in pidyon haben after the bris takes place. So potentially it would be the same thing if a child is born from a Jewish mother and then converts later on. Now, how could it possibly be that you would have a child born from a Jewish mother that is converting later on? So maybe that would be the IVF with the donor egg, right? If you assume we follow the genetics rather than the host mother, then that's what you have here. You have a non-Jewish child being born from a Jewish woman. Then if the kid converts later on, according to this Ramban, he'd be chayv in pidyon haben, right? I would even add in one more where it's even more levisa. What about a regular case where a woman converts, having her first child, while pregnant with her son, and then the boy is born? So would he be chayv in pidyon haben? So we might say, according to the Ramban, well, he's born not Jewish, right? And therefore, and even if you want to say, we don't follow that Ramban, says, yeah, but he's a good Ramban, and Amot Smith over Lavarai, you need to have all of your ducks in a row in order to be Chayv and Pidyon Aven. So maybe you're not Chayv and Pidyon Aven until the Geirus actually takes place for that child, which might also have another, you know, other nafkaminas along those lines. And then there is the flip side. So I'm not sure. I tried looking, I scanned ahead a little bit. The medical shilas and Pidyon Aven are still coming up with regards to Yotze Dofen and things like, or what's it called, miscarriages and things like that. So that we haven't covered yet. But the issue of what about if a child is born through a vaginal birth, but somehow there's a chatzitza to the womb. So apparently this is a thing, and that is discussed here on the last on the page here from the Nishmas Avram. So Nishmas Avram there says a forceps delivery. So would you be Pater and Pidyon Aven from a forceps delivery? So the Chelkas Yoav, we spoke about the Chelkas, Chelkas Yaakov, okay. Chelkas Yoav rules that a baby born by forceps is Pater and Pidyon Aven, but the forceps in between intervene between him and the uterus. The Chelkas Yaakov ruled that he should without a bracha. Chelkas Yaakov is who we discussed on Shabbos. The Avni Nezer at first ruled that he should be redeemed, but later ruled that this should be done without a blessing. So here, by the way, we see a Pidyon Aven without a bracha, which, you know, that's a sort of an ongoing theme here. And then, however, these rules were applicable only in days when a high forceps delivery was practiced. The forceps being introduced high up into the pruzdor. I mean, they actually stuck kalim into the womb of the woman. That's what it sounds like happens. Nowadays, even forceps are only introduced lower down in the prisoner, so that the problem of being a chatzitza between the baby's head and the uterus or the cervix doesn't arise. So apparently, they don't stick forceps past the cervix anymore. At least that's what it seems. So therefore, such a firstborn would require a pidyon haben bizman hazeh. So I see there's a long group of chuvos here at the end, here in footnote 86. I noticed an igros Moshe at the end, which I didn't look up, which actually is not so clear. But you see over there, it says vera'ah. Shalos Chuvos Igros Moshe, but the next door neighbor to the Igros to that tshuva is relevant for congregation Beth Hamedrash. So I figured we'd put that on. If you see here on the last page of Igros Moshe, so number Zion there it says Uvedaver Vlad Bechor Sheutziu Mikli Harechem Inogeya Rak Berosho Imchotzeis Beino Levin Harechem LaChivo Safik Bechor. Right, so if you somehow then separated between the child and the rechem, he would be considered a suffix before. And the Rambam says, right, in kol o rov harosh hayabukaf be'akli, kivin sharosh nechshav leida hu suffix before. So because the rosh is considered the leida already, he already at that point would be a suffix before. As we see in the Rush, in Bracha, in Bechoros, v'imrach mitzad echad chatzot, so it's only on one side. So, sham, imiksas rechem makdish olo, that if you have any amount of chatzitza, right, you would then, it becomes a suffix. Now, it's unclear whether Rav Moshe is talking about the old days of forceps delivery, where they went all the way into the uterus, or even new days delivery. That part's unclear. That's probably why the Nishmas Avram was telling you to look it up. But the next...
is much later. Shavram is contemporary, right?
Correct, I mean, right. So, right. But he, the other choose that he's quoting as nowadays is before Rav Moshe. I mean, he quotes, Rav Three Deish, Dovei Meishar. These are all pre-Rav Moshe. So it seems like that method had already changed, I would think, according to Rav Moshe. But Rav Moshe doesn't seem to be accounting for that here in his section. It could be he was just asked a question, you know, in theory, without being in Paschal Lamaisa. Or it could also be that forceps, he wasn't necessarily asked about forceps, but he was taking out Bekli. So what is Bekli? Is Bekli forceps? Maybe there's other ways. Now, I don't know, you know, maybe there's other ways that they would be able to get kids out that might form some sort of a hefsik. I mean, he said that doesn't even interact with the uterus. The cervix becomes 10 centimeters, right? That's what the cervix is pretty big at the time that child is being born. So I'm not sure why you wouldn't go past the cervix to present to potentially try to get a child out. And not
the cervix is already pretty far out at that point. I think it's just better practice. kiss than anything else. It's probably
Right. If it means going into the womb, they would do a C-section. Yeah, I'm not sure. I wasn't able to get the details on that. And right, so I'm not sure that Rav Moshe is speaking about the same case that's being talked about there in the Nishma Sivra. Don't know. But I've just added the next little section of Rav Moshe here is a shul. If somebody is noheg to say Yiroi Nenu every Marv during the week, but not on Motzei Shabbos, right? So they skip Baruch Hashem the Olam in Marv on Motzei Shabbos, but they say it during the week. So let's say he's in a place where they do say it. Should he say it with them or not? Meaning if he's in another shul and it's Motzei Shabbos and they're saying Baruch Hashem the Olam, should he say it with them or not? And this is where Moshe says, there's no such minhag as only saying it during the week and not Motzei Shabbos. That's not a thing. If they don't say it at all, this bracha, shelo huskara b'gemara, like many assume, and if it's not, then maybe he should not do it. And if it's a place where it's impossible, he's the chazan, so he should say it with them, right? As it says in Psachim with regards to Ravashi, Ravashi was willing to say Kiddush Rabbah on Shabbos, even though it wasn't his minute. This idea that every marav they say it. It's only Motzei Shabbos that they don't say it. Ein minhag ze klum lahachshiv minhag. It's not even considered a minhag. There's no makor for this. It's something that people made up on their own. Therefore, if you're in a place, if you're on a Motzei Shabbos and Shul, where they do say it, you should say it with them. Plus, the idea that they skip it anywhere just on Motzei Shabbos, that's not really an appropriate minhag. Anyways, there's no makor for that. So. Anyways,
there were a few times in Rabbi Krauss where he would talk about something, so there's no such minhag. That's a minhag shtus.
Yeah. So
it's in front of a person too.
Right.
No such minhag.
All right. So, anyways, all right. So you stop here, and Yirsu Hashem. Oh, next Monday night is right. Next Monday is also a fast, but it might be a little busier next Monday night. So maybe we'll skip next Monday night. Then we'll see. We have to suck this. All right. We'll see what comes.